Be here, bringing books to life. Vision without sight.
The Light Watch Chronicles, Book 1, The Guardians, by J. H. Tepley, Episode 5. Produced and dramatised by Be Here.
Chapter 7. Laguis Tunei. Guests on Lagu. Eritis sicut Deus, scientes bonum e malum. Genesis 3:5. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. The evening was warm and mellow, and heady with nocturnal flowers. Amongst the veils of twilight, cicada voices crooned a chirping lullaby to the fading day. A shimmer of butterflies drifted past and merged into the starry sky. Nesteri was alone, leaning on the open window in his room, dusk slowly deepening around. He struggled to collect his thoughts, still ruffled and oddly light-headed after everything that had happened. Not even his usual self-control could make him sleep. Above all, he was envious, much as he hated to admit it. Envious and annoyed. Why was it that the other two got to wander around and discover marvels, but he didn't? Why did he have to be the one to miss out? It was unfair. It simply wasn't right. He should have been given a chance to see the Citadel as well, and the library, especially the library. That room next door, just a few steps away, right there. Nesteri frowned. Thinking about it made the temptation worse.
What if I pop my head in for a moment?
He mused.
Just a quick look. Nobody would know.
He drummed his fingers on the window frame, hesitating.
Have you forgotten your dignity and your family name, young fellow?
His father's frosty voice rang in his mind.
Astarians do not creep around in the night like thieves.
Nesteri sighed. He surely had not forgotten. Of all things, he would never forget that.
Fine, whatever.
He snorted, dispirited. The warrior lingered for another while, idly studying the view. Then sighed and flopped onto his bed. As soon as his head touched the pillow, though, the memories of the last fight came storming back, wiping away whatever little inklings towards sleep he had. The hellish nightmare trembled, ready to unfurl behind his closed eyelids, waiting. Nesteri's eyes snapped open. He slowly breathed out through his set lips to calm down. The room was dark and still. The vaulted ceilings gleamed in the scant moonlight.
It's just a dream,
he reminded himself.
Just a dream. You have to let it go.
It was much easier said than done, though. He lay for a long time, motionless but sleepless, picturing how he would walk into the library and browse through the shelves, looking at the books. Looking at the books. Looking at the books.
Why is it,
he wondered, nettled,
that Tay and Hegel got away with it, but I can't? I would touch nothing. Is that really wrong?
Announce your wish and seek permission as you should.
His father's memory kept preaching. It seemed as real as if he stood before Nesteri now.
Ah, no. Not in a million years.
Nesteri cringed with a hint of anger and turned away. He would not seek permission in front of everyone. It would be lame and childish and needy. Unfitting for a warrior in any case, his dignity would never let him sink that low. He turned to the other side, restless.
You'll probably have to head back soon.
His mind teased him.
Or go somewhere else, like you always do. Tonight could be your only chance. You'd be an idiot to miss it.
How utterly ill-mannered.
His father's voice stung with disdain.
But Hegel and Tay...
Tay is no paragon for you.
Nasteri rubbed his face. This sounded too much like the reprimands he used to hear all those years ago. And just like then, the obstinate rebelliousness of youth stirred up in him.
At the academy, we're equal,
he said defiantly in his thoughts.
Enough!
He sat upon his bed, wide awake. The ghosts of the past were receding slowly.
This is ridiculous,
Nasteri told himself, trying to shrug off the rancor.
They have both seen it, and Antares didn't say a word. Surely it would be fair if I too could have a little glimpse. It would only be fair.
His conscience thus placated, Nasteri grabbed his boots and slipped out into the shadows of the hall. He silently praised, not for the first time, his Silterianese vision that allowed him to navigate in the dark. The carved library door was now in front of him. The last chance to turn back. Nasteri froze and listened with his extended senses. A brief sense of being watched troubled him out of the blue. He nervously turned his head to check, but all seemed clear. He hesitated for another instant, then smiled a roguish smile as he allowed the excitement of the forbidden to take over. It was too late to change his mind now, he decided. He softly pushed the handle. It gave in without a sound. Nasteri stepped inside, his heart beating faster, and carefully closed the door behind. The library was bound with gloom and silence. Old paper, wood, and leather scents reigned here, musky and enchanting like a love spell. Far at the back, behind the towering bookcase, a golden light was softly flickering, forgotten. Nasteri slowly moved towards the glow, curiously studying the maze of shelves and pillars, the quiet sentinels which seemed to watch him pass. Faint moonlight seeped in through the slit windows high above. He saw old parchment scrolls with seals in red and gold, and giant volumes in mysterious tongues, maps of strange worlds, and plates that shimmered blue, and heavy tablets strewn with unknown symbols.
I wonder if there are any books in Larian here,
he pondered dreamily, drinking in the magic.
If there's heaven, it must look like this.
The light got close, bringing out Nasteri's shadow deep and clear, a dancing splash of ink against the book spines. He absent-mindedly turned the corner. It was a mistake, Nasteri realized too late. He halted, cold with shock. For a moment, it seemed as though his heart stopped beating altogether. This was impossible. He wasn't alone. Surrounded by books and mysterious energy shapes floating in the air, Antares sat by her desk, thoughtful, holding a crystal in her hand. Her robes were white and emerald green, the gleam from the spheres reflected in a gold circlet in her hair. Her otherworldly beauty was even more intoxicating, even more spellbinding in the quivering play of light and shadow.
Hello, Nasteri,
she said when their eyes met. Nasteri froze, rooted to the spot.
What now? What do I do?
His mind imploded into a feverish swirl. He grabbed a corner of the bookcase, his knees suddenly weak, heart pounding as though it was about to burst out of his chest. In a split second, he vividly imagined how much worse it was going to be when Tay and Hegel found out.
I'm so terribly sorry,
he spluttered finally, chaotically trying to gather thoughts. He never blushed so much in his entire life.
I beg your forgiveness, Holy Guardian. Please do accept my most sincere apology. I didn't mean to. Oh, light, what now?
Antares smiled.
All is good,
she said.
I knew you would come.
You knew?
Nasteri breathed out.
Of course.
Antares conjured an armchair opposite.
You have been ruminating over sneaking in quite loudly, you know. Here, Take a seat. No need being so overly formal.
Asteri slumped onto the chair and rubbed his temples. He couldn't bear looking at Antares in the face.
Our teacher would be truly disappointed with me,
he muttered, his voice thick with embarrassment.
Why?
We're warriors. The highest level that Larry could offer. We have been trained to sense if someone's nearby, be they enemy or friends. I should have known that you were there, and never have walked in. What a disgrace.
Asteri lowered his head even more.
I wouldn't be so harsh,
Antares told him.
It's undeserved. My frequency is far from anything you've ever known. That's why you couldn't sense it. It will come in time.
You're too kind.
Just reasonable. You couldn't have been prepared for what you've never dealt with. Master Alsphere would have surely agreed.
You know his name?
Asteri gasped, but then shook his head.
Ah, yes, of course. How silly of me. Of course you'd know.
He was still feeling awful.
Stop putting yourself down,
Antares insisted. She did something, it seemed. The heavy shroud of shame clouding Asteri's thoughts lifted, giving way to peacefulness. Perhaps mental induction of a kind. He didn't dare ask.
I am sorry to have interrupted your work.
Asteri finally regained his presence of the mind.
I suppose I'd better go. I do apologise for being a nuisance.
He was about to get up, but something in Antares's eyes stopped him.
You are not.
The great star seemed sad.
Never think lowly of yourself. The warrior's presence is a gift to those he chooses to share it with.
That nearly made Asteri blush again.
You are too kind,
he muttered, not knowing what to say. He wished he had Tay's brain right now to come up with something smooth.
I only...
he began uncertainly, but then cut off. It suddenly appeared to him how pitiful he must have looked at that moment, all shaky and hunched up. Disgraceful. He took a deep breath.
You're an Asterian,
he reminded himself.
And an Arya warrior. Stop acting like a frightened kid.
Asteri straightened in his chair, made himself look at Antares and managed a tense smile.
There, that's more like it. Thank you,
he said after a pause. His green eyes met hers.
I've never felt like I owed anyone anything before. I don't know how to put it into words, but my debt of gratitude is more than I can ever hope to repay.
He dipped his head and put his arm across his chest. An unexplainable expression flickered in Antares's gaze.
Don't mention it. We're fighting on the same side.
She smiled at him, and he smiled back, genuinely this time, as he would do to a friend, forgetting momentarily the abyss that divided them. Her words resounded deeply within, as though he heard them somewhere a long time ago, but he couldn't remember when and where. The third moon rose above the mountain peaks, bathing the library in pale, glittering silver.
Holy star,
Asteri spoke again. He couldn't make himself address the Holy Guardian by her name. It would be too familiar, too awkward.
If you don't mind me asking, what is...
Oh, the mirror room your friend saw earlier?
Yes,
Asteri replied, discomforted.
What is it for?
It's just a training chamber, as boring as it sounds. For meditation and awareness practice.
I understand.
He noticed a low glass of heavy crystal that appeared on the armrest just then. The rich amber inside gleamed in the moonlight. Asteri's eyebrows went up.
Thank you.
I thought you might appreciate that,
Antares said without interrupting her work.
Most certainly.
Asteri took the glass and held it up to the light.
Midari?
No, amber milk. It's more soothing.
The drink smelt of chestnuts, herbs, and honey, and was pleasingly mellow on the tongue. It was a surprise, timely, and most welcome. For the first time, Asteri was glad that Antares could read thoughts.
I wouldn't have come here, but I just couldn't sleep,
he admitted.
I know,
Antares replied, her face gentle and kind.
The last couple of days couldn't have been easy.
Asteri nodded as he took a long drink and reclined slowly on the green velvet of the chair.
It's mainly the last fight. The memories.
He shook his head.
I know I must let go. I'm working on it.
He thought of Farian, and the terrible needles of cold pierced through him again, as always since that dark nightmare a while ago. He bit his lip. If it's not possible to bring Far here, they should at least find out where he was. He wanted to ask Antares about it right now, and yet some strange inner resistance clenched his chest. Asking didn't feel right. Nesteri took a swallow, and another, hesitating. But then his discipline took over. He'd do what his duty required of him, not some stupid moods.
Holy Star,
he said with all the decisiveness he could muster.
Another one of us?
Farian.
Yes. You probably know where he...
The treacherous shortness of breath betrayed more than he wanted to reveal. Nesteri winced and forced himself to finish.
Do you happen to know where he is?
Antares turned to him, a long and thoughtful stare.
In your heart, you know that already.
She wished she could have said.
There will be time to talk about it tomorrow.
She told him instead, calmly.
Tonight, just get some rest. There won't be any wait for him, remember?
Nesteri gave a meek nod, the pang of anxiety fading, succumbing inescapably to the soothing power of Antares's words and the amber milk. Even the usual tension in his arms and shoulders gradually melted away. He hadn't felt so peaceful in years. He had almost forgotten what it was like.
As you wish, Holy Star.
For a while, he watched Antares's work in silence, the shaping of the energy spheres and the dainty elements that made the outer rim. More and more swam in the air around. Warm drowsiness was building up in him, obliterating any desire to move or talk. Yet finally, curiosity won.
Holy Star,
he asked softly.
May I know what these are?
Guiding blueprints,
Antares said. Seeing Nesteri's blank expression, she added.
They are to help beings in different worlds remember who they are.
Can anyone forget that?
Nesteri creased his brow.
Yes,
Antares replied quietly.
A time may come when many will forget. Forget their light, trapped in the mental prison of their own making. You see, to use your power, you must feel it.
Nesteri nodded.
But the mind can't feel, only think. Without the feeling, it becomes blind. And without the memory of the light, fear will spread and taint feelings like a poison until there is no place for love.
Nesteri cocked his head quizzically. He struggled to make sense of what he heard.
It's not an emotion that I speak of, but the Maitri energy. A source of inner strength and guidance,
the Guardian explained.
If that source is lost, defeat and darkness would follow.
Nesteri crossed his arms, puzzled and thoughtful. His glass was empty now.
What does it mean?
For people, it would mean the pain of loneliness, the lack of purpose and a deeper meaning too. Fear would bind them and keep them shackled. And for the stars?
Yes.
The loss of memory would render them defenseless.
In what sense? How?
It is the light that gives us strength,
Antares said.
You can't fight if you don't know who you are and what you stand for. Many, too many, will fall and turn towards the shadow without even knowing.
That's horrid!
Nesteri jerked upright in his chair, sleepiness gone in an instant. Fierce fire flashed in his eyes.
We must do something. We can't let it happen.
We will do whatever is in our power,
Antares told him.
These blueprints shall be of some help as well.
Nesteri frowned, his addled mind slowly becoming conscious of the full extent of the horror. The prophecy sounded staggeringly dark. How could she speak so calmly about it? He studied the ethereal golden shapes once more, this time more closely.
Surely there must be something that can stop it. Surely the Septenary.
Antares interrupted his thoughts. She called to life another sphere and, unexpectedly, made it float towards him.
You may imprint this one if you feel inspired. Here, focus on it. Quieten your thoughts and connect with the light. Keep your intention strong.
The morning sun gleamed on the white walls and silver roofs of Meldian, but on the terrace shadows lingered still. Dew touched the sapphire leaves beneath. Breakfast was waiting for the quarter, fruits and milk and berries, and the neat nuggets of some food they could not name, and Madeirae, the drink from yesterday, fragrant and thick like lucid honey. They ate in silence, as it was done amongst their kind. The ocean breeze was fresh and rang with birdsong.
Farion would love this,
Tay reflected, taking a swallow from his cup.
Why is he not with us?
With that thought, a gasping coldness suddenly took over him, clenching his throat, foreboding. Tay frowned and forced it away.
To hell with courtesies. We must find out, no matter what. I'll have straight after breakfast,
he decided. Yet, it did not go his way. And Tares, who touched nothing except Madeirae for the entire time, rose from her seat as soon as they had finished, spoke of some urgent duties, and was gone.
I will return as soon as I am able. You're welcome to look around if it pleases you.
The quarter traded unsure glances.
So, what's the plan?
Nesteri asked when they were left on their own. Tay shrugged noncommittally and waved towards the hills. There wasn't much to do but to run down the steps, cross the wide balcony of white stone, and entrust themselves to the silent wisdom of the path to see where it might take them. The meadows were soft grass, creeks, and the brocade of flowers. A flutter of butterflies trembled above, emerald and auriferous and turquoise blue. Hegel sighed. He was falling for the beauty of Lagu, he realized. A world so inexplicably, so magically close to the one he loved.
It feels like being back home, after all these years,
he mused with a quiet tumult, his greatest, most impossible wish coming true. A distant forest called to them from across the streams, a promise of soothing shade. Tay nodded as if questioningly. The other two nodded back. Far to the right over the fields, the ocean glistened and sighed. The forest was soon before them, a green whispering dome. The slanted sun rays gilded moss on the ancient trees. The quarter entered, charmed, pushing away the lacy leaves of giant ferns. Bird voices rang sweetly in the hush.
Hey, did you see that?
Nesteri whispered suddenly.
What?
Tay whispered back.
Just over there.
Nesteri pointed to the shrubs ahead. A pair of horses, but slenderer and moonlight white, flicked through the thicket, quiet as ghosts. Their manes shimmered gold. Tay's eyes lit up.
Horses? Neat. Looks like I can do some riding.
They're wild,
Nesteri said doubtfully.
I don't think you could tame those.
I can tame anything.
Tay squinted smugly.
Sure, except your own mind.
Nesteri thought with contempt, but magnanimously decided to say nothing. He turned and walked ahead, and Hegel with him. Tay dawdled briefly. A memory of joy and freedom he always felt when on horseback swam back at him, and he smiled. He was only 4 or 5 when his older brother snatched him off the ground one day and put him in the saddle on his lap, laughing. He expected little Tay to be terrified, and any other kid would likely have been, but not Tay. He was never afraid. Unexplainably, he felt like he belonged on the horse, on that first day and on all days since. Riding, for him, was more than just a passion. It was the closest thing to flying without wings. He looked around once more, but the shrubs were empty now. The woodland was quiet and painted with dappled sunlight. Hegel and Nesteri walked side by side, lost in the discussion of time dilation and other theories that Nesteri enjoyed and Hegel excelled at.
I'm still trying to figure out how we can return to the exact same moment, no matter how long we spend here,
Nesteri was saying.
I did give it some thought,
Hegel replied meditatively.
My only assumption would be that there may exist some sort of a temporal tunnel that connects both places and that we could use it.
Nesteri shook his head. How could such a structure be supported and what for?
It's only a conjecture,
Hegel shrugged.
We cannot know for sure.
Tay kept a few steps behind so that he didn't have to be part of it. The very sound of such conversation put him to sleep. He always hated temporal theory at the academy, and, in all honesty, time riddles didn't interest him much. The only time that really matters is right now, he often liked to say. Yet, he was swaying from the principles he preached. Before he knew it, his thoughts drifted from the present, far and away, back to his fateful stay on Morionwe and Tayu. Her smile, her skin, the fragrance of her hair. He missed it all so much at times it drove him crazy.
My bliss and my curse, he called her in his thoughts.
The hardest trial he had ever gone through. If there were ever any cosmic rites of passage, it certainly felt like one. Since Morionwe, life had never been the same. Tay absently jumped over a huge gnarled root that arched from the ground. Yes, he did what his honour and duty demanded of him. When the truth about his secret affair had come out, he ended it right then. Half dead inside from pain, with the very wretched last of his willpower. But he did it. He remained loyal to his squad. They left the planet shortly after. And yet, it wasn't good enough, Tay knew. He had faltered. He lied. He betrayed their trust. There was no denying that he had lost his self-control, and with it, his warriors' respect. Weakness and self-indulgence, he read in their eyes ever since. The unspoken reproach that made his heart sink. Hegel admirably outdid himself with manners. But Farian and Nesteri were blunter and hardly cared to play their contempt down. Tay couldn't blame them. It was deserved. He acted against the code. He let a mundane attachment claim his mind. He lost his focus and integrity as a warrior. His scholarship position made it worse. He wasn't simply a man or simply a soldier. He was an academy scholar. By acting lowly, he disgraced not only his own self, but tarnished the good name of his noble teachers. He let down everyone who trusted in him. For centuries, the academy was every boy's dream. A thrilling, revered, half-legendary gateway into the world of heroes. Unreachable. It was reserved only for the best. The very best of the best. It was a high honour indeed to be accepted, and a costly one. The humble means of Tay's family would have never made that possible, but what money couldn't achieve, his talent did. His outstanding martial gift and his sensitivity to the light opened the academy doors for him as one of the few arms students. It was a miracle nobody expected. A dream come true. Tay remembered his wild excitement when the news arrived, the admiration mixed with envy from his friends, how proud his family were. His life was set to be a straight path now, the one of hard work, service, and glory. If not for the fall, it might have been that way. When they first crossed the academy's gates at the age of 6, the boys' decision would be largely an echo of what others had said. Nobody expected more. The willingness to learn and sensitivity to the light was all that were required of the little scholars. 10 years later, though, a first true test was waiting for them, their first free-willed choice that would decide their future. They could leave the academy if they wished and return to ordinary life. Or remain, to one day proudly join the elite forces of the Kingdom of Lyeri. With the latter came the commitment of the many further years of training, an arcane initiation, and an oath to live their lives according to the warrior duty and the code. Once the vow was sworn, there was no going back. Crossing that threshold, the young men ceased to be ordinary students. They became initiates. From then on, they would live to serve their mission and have no other family but their teachers and comrades in arms. Rare exceptions were occasionally granted at the discretion of the Grand Master Arch for those like Hegel, royal descendants and the like, but Tay wasn't one of them. He was an oathbreaker, a reneger who put his shameful passions above his oath and honour, no longer the man nor the warrior he should be. In the memory of their late teacher, it had been decided he was to remain the captain. What a joke. A formal badge, a jeer, whatever it wasn't real. He felt no right to that position anymore. He wasn't worthy of it. What would wise Master Alsevier say if he saw his pupil now, a disgrace who failed the mission placed on him? One part of Tay didn't want to know. There was another part, though, and it longed to talk to their old master with fervent urgency, to seek his counsel and support. He would most likely end up harshly scolded for his faults, or even disciplined. Fine. Tay would accept whatever came. At least there might be finally a way to redeem his name, to put his wrongs right, to prove he was worthy of his teacher's trust after all, and to heal the scorching pain inside. Tay bit his lip. He needed Master Alsevier's guidance now more than ever.
"Do you see what I see?"
Nasteri's smug voice snapped Tay out of his reflections. The ocean shimmered vaguely on their right. Beyond the furrowed bowls, the trees receded there, hugging with their roots a narrow glade. Its outer edges dropped steeply to the waves below. The gusts of wind came cool and fresh, disquieting the grass.
"Enough walking for me,"
Hegel declared as soon as he stepped in. He leant against a tree, breeze flowing through his hair.
"I'm staying right here."
Tay agreed with a silent nod. He needed a few moments to collect himself. Nobody should know. He squeezed his eyes shut and took the long breath. Nobody. The warrior stretched on the grass, throwing his hands behind his head. Nasteri sat beside him. Slowly, Tay opened his eyes again and managed to make his face expressionless. A bit too late.
"Something wrong?"
he asked him with a sidelong glance.
"Yes,"
Tay answered after a pause, watching the seahawks' errands high amongst the clouds.
"I still can't get my head around this."
For once, he was relieved to use the situation as an excuse.
"Which part?"
"All of it. It feels unreal. It's like I'm asleep, and at any moment I could wake up back on the blue planet. You know what I mean?"
He paused, and worry darkened his face.
"We must go back. Far needs us. Yeah, I do remember what Antares said about returning to the very moment of... Oh, I hope at least the place won't have to be the same."
He winced.
"But it just feels wrong to be here, idle, while he's looking for us."
"You're right."
Nasteri agreed readily. The stifling sense of guilt secretly kindled in him too.
"But how? It seems we're stuck here, just as we were trapped on the blue planet. If not worse."
"Ask Antares to send us back?"
"Sure. And if she refuses? Imagine how humiliating that would be."
Tay grimaced.
"Do we have a choice?"
"Remember, there appears to be a reason why she saved our lives,"
Nasteri said.
"I don't believe we're simply guests. Punch me if I'm wrong, but we may have to earn our right to leave."
Rankled notes crept into his voice.
"Earn our right."
Tay plucked a blade of grass and put it in his mouth.
"It does my head in, all this carry-on. The greats are weird as heck, can't understand their thinking for the life of me."
"She's not simply a great star,"
Hegel corrected.
"But one of the sacred..."
"That doesn't help one bit as far as I'm concerned,"
Tay told him gruffly.
"She is beautiful,"
Nasteri muttered out of the blue, almost wistfully, for all of the world out of character for him. Hegel squinted in blatant disbelief.
"Nasteri, did you just..."
"Oh yeah?"
Nasteri grinned as he turned around, his usual self again.
"Tell me that you don't think the same. Go on. I saw how you were talking to her earlier."
"Well..."
"Yes?"
Nasteri teased him, his eyes elvish and narrow.
"I'm waiting."
Now, Tay turned his head as well, sensing a spectacle. Hegel rubbed his neck and suddenly blushed like a kid.
Well, very well. I won't lie,
he blurted out.
Her features are certainly beguiling. I can't help noticing. All right? But I'm fine. It doesn't sway me. I just want to learn.
He set his lips and quickly looked away. Tay snorted. Watching Hegel at that moment was hilarious.
She's hot,
he admitted.
Although I wouldn't risk talking about it. I bet she can hear us somehow. That sure would be awkward. Imagine she may get annoyed.
With you on that, Nasteri said. We should be careful while here.
Tay sighed and sat up, twining his arms over his knee.
I'd give the world to understand what's really going on.
He moved the blade of grass between his lips.
Ha, with you on that too.
Nasteri twisted his mouth.
She did explain, but it sounded more like a riddle. I couldn't make any sense of it.
Really? I can't remember. What was it?
She said that time was changing, and that the shadow must crash and subside.
Hegel cut in, repeating pensively Antares's words.
Rip my brain.
Tay wrinkled his forehead.
And how are we supposed to help? We can't even sort our own mess out.
It's obvious. We've been summoned so that Tay saves the universe.
Nasteri said in a portentous tone.
It has been foretold.
Nasteri, shut up.
Why? Don't be shy.
Tay scowled wearily.
Shut up, honestly, you're a...
I see my dearest sister's playing an absent host.
A stranger's voice rang startlingly clear. A great star showed before them in his warrior uniform, leather and teal, an azure cloak thrown carelessly over his shoulder. A circlet of green gold gleamed in his wavy hair. His eyes were greyish-blue like northern skies and shone with an unknown, serene and crystallized state of mind that the Quarter had never seen before, except in Antares. The wisdom of aeons and a jaunty smile mixed in his gaze. Tay and Nasteri sprang up and froze side by side in obeisance. They recognized the guardian of space. A second later, Hegel stepped in closer and joined them too. Famaris rose his eyebrows, but then nodded as if having remembered something.
Well, hello, hello.
Holy Star Raiden, it's an honour to be graced by your presence,
Nasteri said. The great star's lip curved up with warm amusement.
Bit too intense. Stand at ease. I'm not your commander,
he said.
And by the way, I know who you are. No introduction needed. And as for my name, the two N's at the end are blatantly excessive. Call me Famaris. Drinks and merriment for all,
announced the Star of Space as he created crystal goblets and offered three to the Quarter. Dark liquor sparkled inside.
So how's the life on Largu treating you so far?
He asked, raising his drink.
It's been, good. Really good.
Tay replied, struggling somewhat to keep his composure under Faramis's piercing gaze. It was as though the great star was looking straight into his soul.
Can't be that good if you want to run away already.
Famaris teased him.
We don't. We didn't.
Tay spurted. How the hell did the Guardian find out?
It's not like that. It's just we have to rescue someone.
I know,
Famaris replied.
But to change his fate would take more than you are right now.
The Quarter gave him a puzzled stare.
Don't ask me.
Famaris waved his hand.
You'll learn soon enough. New paths will open when you're ready. The present will not grant you what you want, but the future might. Just trust the wisdom of time.
Those words made no sense whatsoever, but the warriors nodded solemnly, hoping they didn't look as clueless as they felt.
In other words, don't worry.
Famaris added in a tone of explanation.
That rain will bring rainbows, in time.
He took a swallow from his chalice.
Any great plans ahead?
Well, first, we'll find Farian.
Tay replied, resolutely.
And then?
Then we will go somewhere, travel, to some planet, then some other. We can't stay anywhere for too long. Just keep moving on and on.
Tay's voice trailed away. He realised he didn't know what to say.
And what's your final goal then?
We don't have one. There's no place where we belong.
The Great Star shook his head. He regarded each one in turn, kindly, albeit with a hint of melancholy.
That's not what I meant,
he said.
Then what?
Tay's typical candour made Hegel wince. Famaris didn't bat an eyelid, though.
I meant your purpose, what you stand for,
he answered slowly.
How you intend to serve the world with what you are.
That dug deep. The quarter felt like the schoolboys yet again, called out at an exam they did not study for.
I wish I knew what our purpose is, Holy Guardian.
Mysteri finally broke the silence.
No titles!
Famaris's voice was sharp and forceful this time.
I do apologise.
Mysteri dipped his head.
I don't think there's much that we can do,
Tay cut in.
By any standard, we are no one. Four warriors with no special talents. Our skills are just enough to get us by. Only just.
He paused and his gaze darkened.
We're not doing a great job these days.
Famaris listened patiently.
But surely there's something you stand for.
Stand for?
Tay echoed, perplexed. He realised he never truly thought of it. At the academy, his path was laid out for him. After the fall, life was just fights and roaming, with little opportunity to... No, that wasn't true. He could have meditated and tried to figure it out. It just, that question never occurred to him somehow. It felt too much as though he was failing some strange test, but Tay wouldn't give up easily.
Why does that matter?
He asked the Star of Space with a defiant flare. Mysteri bit the middle knuckle of his thumb and looked away, his arms crossed. Something was stirring in him. Unknown, unspoken, a secret yearning that he had never dared to face. What do you stand for? Those five words. He knew them too well. They haunted him over the years, disquieting, burning in his mind. Did he even have a purpose? Did his existence have a meaning at all? Oh, how much he wished he could know. Mysteri let out a long breath, half a sigh. There was no way to find out, at least no way he knew of. Even in meditation, a thick curtain of fog shrouded him every time and he couldn't see past it. Hegel's face remained noncommittal. Before the fall, his duty was to serve his family and his country, he believed. Now, all was gone. Crumbled into dust. There was nothing left to fight for except his battle brothers who needed him. Hegel's loyalty was with them, and with the memory of what he once was. There wasn't any more to life than that. Famaris spoke again. His eyes glistened with strange luminescence as though it wasn't him, but some unfathomable force that spoke through him at that moment.
The light always has a purpose,
he said.
You have been called into this world for a reason, and given the power to fulfill the mission trusted upon you. For the light, no life is insignificant. The trails on your path are there to help you awaken and remember.
Mysteri looked searchingly at the Star of Space.
Remember what?
Your true power and your mission in this life.
But how? Can I remember something I don't know? That seems impossible.
You do know.
Famaris insisted mildly. Mysteri shook his head.
I'm lost,
he admitted.
Even as you say so, part of you is aware that it's not true.
Famaris's gaze returned to his usual expression.
Deep inside, you can sense it, beyond words. The calm certainty that you are meant for more, right?
That didn't sound like a question.
Yes?
Mysteri swallowed. He never shared those thoughts with anyone. How did Famaris know? The great star smiled.
I know because we both belong to the same kind. I'm just older,
he said lightly.
There is one common purpose all stars share, to bring the light and guard this world against the shadow, to stand for those who can't stand for themselves. This is why we are always warriors, no matter what we do. This is your starting point. From there, you forge your personal path, your personal purpose.
How?
You need to remember who you are, or learn it again, to understand yourself better. Through that, you'll discover your unique way of serving the world, something you feel fully and deeply aligned with, something only you can do. Your path unfolds as you walk.
Mysteri sighed. There was some profound wisdom in Famaris's words. He sensed it, and yet frustratingly struggled to follow.
"Where do I even start?"
he blurted out, forgetting courtly courtesies for a moment, but instantly corrected himself.
"If you would be so kind."
"From being brutally honest with yourself,"
Famaris told him.
"Then, once you know your truth, act upon it."
"My truth?"
Asteri rubbed his forehead, muttered the usual decorous thanks and fell silent, a pestilence of questions whirling through his mind. There was too much to think about at once. Even Tay looked pensive. Famaris refilled their goblets.
"All right, I have time for only one more vague and long-winded question,"
he announced and glanced at Hegel with a smirk.
"Ask away."
"I didn't mean to interfere."
Hegel winced, discomfited.
"It was merely an idle reflection, and I would hesitate to voice it."
"Just go ahead. You know what you are like. That question would haunt you later."
Hegel gasped.
"Yes. Yes, that is true. It does happen to me."
He studied the great star in disbelief.
"May I ask? You read my thoughts?"
"Not purposely. I'm only commenting on those you let float out and about."
Famaris shrugged.
"Could you elucidate?"
"Sure. Your thoughts are like energy, and as you let them out of your mind, they linger in your field, your aura. You can imagine them hovering around like bubbles. You've been trained in energy combat, though. You must know about thought screening." "Ah, you didn't complete your training. I see."
"That's right,"
Nesteri heard himself say, frustration momentarily taking over.
"We didn't. I always wished we could have learnt more."
"It well looks like your wish is shortly to be granted, and Tara certainly has the patience to teach."
Famaris smiled.
"So, Hegel, what about your conundrums?"
"I was just putting facts and theories together,"
Hegel began hesitantly.
"Some random musings of mine. I was speculating whether the polytheistic paradigm could be..."
"Hegel, use normal words."
Tay cringed.
"Very well."
Hegel had finally fought the tension out of his voice.
"I wondered if it could be that certain deities we come across over and over may be inspired by the great stars. Some of those stories are strikingly similar across different worlds. That piqued my curiosity a while ago. What if someone who encountered a guardian shared his story? Then over time, myths and folk tales were born from it. A wild guess, perhaps."
"Not quite that wild,"
Famaris answered serenely.
"For creeds and legends there are many reasons, and our existence is merely one. However, it is true, though some worlds may no longer hold the memory of us, they still remember what we stand for. The locals would then coin their own fables and names, always a bit hit and miss. And yes, in line with that thinking, they would often portray me as a god of wealth, the star of future as a god of wisdom, Regulus as a goddess of justice, and so it goes. Those titles do make me cringe. It is what it is, though."
"Regulus?"
Hegel didn't recognize the name.
"The guardian star of time present."
"And what about Holy Star Antares?"
Curiosity got the better of Nesteri.
"Really? Haven't you worked it out yet?"
Famaris snorted, finishing his drink. He rubbed his wrists, then suddenly stood up, picking up his cloak. The empty goblets vanished.
"Time is calling for me,"
the Great Star said.
"And you too shall soon be on your way. Just one last thing."
His blue-green eyes swept the warriors.
"Not everything you leave behind truly is a loss. By letting go of what you used to be, you open doors to what you may become."
Famaris's voice was strangely pensive as he spoke.
"Hugs for Antares. Narie."
He waved and was gone. The quarter remained alone, trying to gather their thoughts.
"I wonder what that last malarkey was about,"
Tay muttered flatly. He suddenly seemed dull and weary, as though some darkness gnawed at him from the inside. Nesteri shrugged.
"Looks like he maybe tried to warn us. Or give advice of sorts."
"Advice on what?"
"No idea. Leaving something behind, the importance of non-attachment, I guess."
"Screw non-attachment. Screw all these damn enigmas,"
Tay thought, vexed. Perhaps it might have been the drink that went to his head. But Famaris's parting words stirred stinging restlessness, not the kind of state he would want others to see. What, stupid, letting go could help him now? It was too late. He was forever cursed to live with his decisions. Tay stood up and ran his fingers through his hair to slick it back, a habit from when his hair was long.
Meet you back at the house later.
What? Where are you off to?
Asteri raised his eyebrows.
Don't know,
Tay replied curtly. He knew he had betrayed himself by the display of weakness, but he couldn't help it. He was past caring.
Just want to be alone.
To life. Vision without sight.